Hi everyone and welcome to Clocking In. My name's Lathan MB and on this episode we have model turned horror actress / screen queen, it's Danny Thompson. Hi Danny, how are you doing?
Hello, I'm good. How are you?
I'm really well. It's been so long since we've seen each other.
It's been so long, and I mean, it's almost the age I pretend I am that long ago.
Stop. Let's not even talk about age. I still think I'm 18 years old prancing around.
I think I was when I met you.
I know. All right, let's just talk about that a little bit. For those of you that don't know, me and Danny met in Great Yarmouth in a show called Outrageous, I think it was called, wasn't it?
It was.
Do you remember that?
Many
time?
Moons ago.
Let's just have a look.
And I'm still very good friends with Miss Black Rain. Because yeah. I know she goes by now, but we're still very good friends from that long ago. So we often talk about it with fond memories.
Yeah, oh, very fond memories. I mean, and like we said, we were both so young back then, you know, and oh, it was fabulous, wasn't it?
It was so much fun. And I think it came about, myself and Miss Black Rain, we were dancing and we were strippers back then. And the club where you were having the show, somebody from the club spoke to her and said, we need two showgirls. And she roped me in. And then I remember coming in and you saying, can you dance? And we're both like, no. And you're like, can you be choreographed? And we're like, we don't know. And we were, I think originally we were supposed to just walk on in, you know, all these sequins and whatever. And then we ended up in about four or five of the dance numbers as well because we choreographed us.
Yeah, but it was good times though, wasn't it? You know, it was really good times. So, all right, then let's just talk a little bit, very briefly, about some of the projects you're doing right now. Can you have any spoiler alert for us? Can you let us know what's going on very briefly?
I can actually. I can let you into some secrets. So for anybody who doesn't know already, I moved on into the world of horror. So I work within horror movies. I'm an actress, but I also write a little bit and I present a little bit.
Yeah.
So I've just had a piece at a film festival. It's called Dragon. It's part of a anthology called Horoscopes. And I've done the first and the second. So I did Gemini and I've done Dragon. So there was the horoscopes and the Chinese horoscopes, and they gave 12 people a piece or a title, basically. So one of the star signs, and we had to go away, write a piece, film it. Mm-hmm. And I've just been signed on to the third one, which is Dark Horoscopes. But I don't actually have a subject yet. So they do a kind of names out of hat thing, and that hasn't happened.
Wow.
But on the acting front, I'm just about to go off to the South Coast to Bognor Regis, which is I've never been, to do a film called Good Neighbours, in which I play a alien housewife. And I've just literally just before I've come onto this podcast, gotten off the phone to a director in Texas called Joshua Kennedy, who I've worked with before. And he's now talking about me going back to Texas in March. So that could be exciting.
Oh, well, so you've got lots on the cards then, haven't you?
Yes, and I'm trying to move house, and I'm living in Scotland at the moment, which is really random and was part of my plan. So, yeah, there's just so much going on, but life is for living, right? So I just say yes to it.
Of course, absolutely. I think a lot of people get so wrapped up in the negativity and forget to move forward with the life and enjoy it, you know?
Yes, exactly.
All right, then, let's go way, way, way back. Way back there.
Okay,
where did it all start? Well, let's start with, you know, what was it like for you growing up?
For me growing up, I mean, I grew up in Norfolk. I was born in Australia. My family moved to England when I was two. Mm-hmm. And I grew up in, you know, small villages in Norfolk. If anyone knows Norfolk, Wroxham, Houghton. Mm-hmm. It was very quiet. And it was, I think I probably always felt like I wanted to do more exciting things. you know, than kind of stay. I mean, I loved it there, don't get me wrong, it's a beautiful place and I love going back, but I wanted to, you know, I wanted like bright lights and excitement. So I mean, but growing up there, going into acting, it's like it's not a real job, you know, you have to kind of go and train to do something because I wouldn't have known how to do it. And so it all kind of really happened organically for me with having, you know, danced, and then I ended up modeling, and then the acting was after I kind of moved to London through modeling, and it all kind of flowed for me. But I mean, I had a great time growing up, and I honestly wouldn't have wanted to grow up anywhere else. Like growing up in the countryside, it was perfect.
And not far from the sea as well,
Not far from the sea,
which is
and
always a
that's what that
bonus.
from the north, but I'm sure we'll come back to that later.
And you said about the modeling career. When you were young, did you know from a young age, did you say, okay, I want to be a model?
No, because I was actually very shy. And it wasn't really until I was dancing that I really came out of my shell. But I was quite shy growing up. And I, well, no, do you know what? I didn't know I wanted to be a model. I think I maybe wanted to act. I loved watching soap operas. And I just imagine I was current. I kind of, you know, entertain myself with coming up with these characters in my head. But it wasn't something I knew how to get into. And then I think, do you know, I think the Spice Girls also, they gave me a confidence that I didn't have. That sounds bonkers, but I think as a teenage girl, when the Spice Girls came out, and it was like, you know, there's a little bit of all of them in you somewhere. There's like a sporty side and there's the crazy side. You know, I feel like that kind of gave me a little bit of girl power. I still go by it. I have a girl power tattoo on my shoulder. I do. And then, yeah, I mean, it was from the dancing, which honestly, if I look back and I'm like, how did I end up going to audition to be a stripper? Because I was shy. Like, what possessed me that day, even to turn up to the audition? And Miss Black Rain said to me, she was like, I honestly thought after your audition, you know, you might come in, do one shift, and then she'll be one of those ones who you never see again. But she was like, you stuck it out and it completely changed me, I think.
Yeah, I think sometimes people, when they're quite shy, they tend to do something that's out of the box to try and bring themselves out. Do you know what I mean?
It was so out of the box for me. And then obviously that shyness is long, long got long gone. Long
So what did you do then before that? Did you work in an office or
I was
something?
studying fashion. So I was at college studying fashion. I'd gone through various things at college. I'd done beauty, and then I realized I didn't really want to kind of pamper other people. It wasn't for me. And then I did a travel course, and then I was like, no, actually, I don't want to work in travel. I want to travel. And then I was studying fashion, and again, I don't know. I think looking back now, had I gone into fashion, I probably would have gone into the costume side of things. And now, when I'm working in film, if I'm producing or I'm writing, I very much have the costumes and characters in mind. I've produced movies where I've gone out and I've been the costume designer, so I've gone and I've bought all the costume for the characters. And I think as well with my characters, when I'm playing a character, the costume, like for me to be able to go and do that myself, a lot of the directors will let you kind of get on board with that. So I feel like maybe it did come in handy somewhere. But yeah, it was completely different world.
Do you remember your first modeling shoot? How did that come about? Did you send some pictures in? Did you get scouted?
Again, it was Miss Black Rain. She's the driving force behind me. She said that I
I
needed
tell you
to
what, I want her on the show as well.
go. Yes. She said I needed to get some pictures done, and she kind of badgered me to do it. So I got pictures done, and then I ended up in the Daily Sport pretty quickly after that. And they've got an agent. And then I started working on like the Babe Station shows. So that was kind of early on. I think they'd only been going for about a year or so at the time. And then through that, I ended up in the party world of London. So I was kind of working in London maybe 2 nights a week. The money was incredible back then on those shows. You know, I worked like a few hours a night. And then I was going out to the clubs and I loved it. And I really fell into that party scene. And then that's when I ended up moving to London. And I think I used to work maybe two nights a week, go out 5 nights a week, and I loved it. Whereas now I don't go out at all. I don't party now, but sort of back then, that was, that's what I wanted to do. And, I loved London for a long time while I was there.
Yeah. I used to love London when I was younger. Now, I'm not so keen. You know what I mean? I'll go there, do what I've got to do, and then come away.
Yeah,
So.
I mean, I lived for 16 years in the end. So, and I only moved in the middle of last year, so in the summer. So I was there 16 years in the same apartment. And, I had a great time, but I probably should have left a few years before I did. I think it was kind of in lockdown, I left London. I ran away to my friends by the sea in the northeast and probably should to uproot then, but I went back because I was like, oh, maybe I'm not quite finished in London. And then I just keep being drawn back to the northeast to the seaside. So I've upped my apartment and I'm just waiting for the one I'm purchasing to go through. So I'm staying in Scotland at my boyfriend's at the moment. A Scottish adventure was never part of the plan, but here I am.
But
Temporary.
Scotland's beautiful though, isn't it?
It's beautiful, and I've been doing some amazing hikes. So now you'll see me in on a hike. You'll see me in a bar, or I'd never go out to a club now. But yeah, my lifestyle's changed with it all.
But don't you think that's good that people see that side of you as well? Because on social media, obviously we can all be glamorous, we can all look great and fantastic, but and then they put us in a box, don't they? You know, they don't see us going out and hiking, for example, or shopping, or all those normal things that everybody does.
Do you know the shopping thing? The only time I've ever really been recognised is always when I have my hair in a messy, greasy bun and no makeup on. So people seem to recognise me like that. But I mean, I think I now post a lot more hike stuff. But it you don't on social media, you obviously have a fan base or people that will follow you. And I'm trying to kind of switch it around a little bit to step away. Glamour side of things because I did that a long time ago and my acting still kind of I still get cast in those kind of roles, but I'm trying to kind of I've got other interests now. I actually work in holistics as well, so I there's another side to my bow, but I kind of keep the two worlds apart.
I mean it's very difficult because, like you said, people do put you in a box. And you know, for years on social pe media, people have been, just been saying to me, "Oh, you cringe, you cringe." You know, and I don't. I'm cringe. Yeah, so what? And you know, and but I personally don't mind that. But and then they don't think that you can do something else, do they?
Exactly. I mean, I've come on here today in my snoodie, so the glamour is gone. I've got red lipstick on, but I was like, I'm at home, I'm gonna be
It's
comfortable.
all about the
It's about the red lipstick. And honestly, I don't feel like me without my red lipstick on. And I go on hikes and my boyfriend will be like, do you really need red lipstick? Yes. I'm like, I do, of course. And if I don't have it, thank God for Photoshop now, I can just add it in After Effects.
Exactly, yeah. Because how do you think, you know, we're talking about the internet and stuff. How do you think that impacted like your modeling career and just things in general, really?
Well, it really changed the industry, I think. So I was modeling before Instagram and all these Insta models, and I think it was MySpace was kind of about back then, and it wasn't a massive platform for modeling. So obviously newspapers and magazines were still getting paid for your pictures, and I think when social media came about, kind of all the lads mags are gone basically, and most of the newspapers don't print page three or anything anymore. And it was basically because girls are just giving it all away for free, and it's like here's me half naked. I know Twitter. I think Twitter, you could post anything, couldn't you? So people could be topless on, like Instagram limit. But yeah, I mean, it really killed the industry for people who were getting paid to do that. But for me, it was about the time anyway that I was like, well, I've been doing this, for a good few years now, and it's a career with, well, I'd say it's a career with a shelf life. However, I still am modeling, which I don't think. I didn't think I'd be modeling into my 30s, let alone, at 40. But I'm still earning money from modeling, so I've still got that fan base. So I think it's, in a way, it's good, but it's completely changed it around. So instead of, getting paid by newspapers, magazines, or what have you get paid by you based on things like OnlyFans or any of those other platforms. So it's there's a big shift, but I think for a little while there, before those came about, it kind of killed the industry.
For those consumers that used to go out and buy things more so, do you know what I mean? Like go down the local spa or whatever and go and get the magazines. Now, obviously, people don't because they get it online, through subscriptions and things like that. But I've completely forgot what I was going to say. But obviously, it's opened other doors. With it be with social media.
I mean, it has. Like I'm saying, obviously, you can work on your strengths, and I think you can create your own kind of online persona more, and people will subscribe to you. So it's about kind of finding your brand really and finding your niche.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
Working within that.
And also, you've got so many strings to your bow, and we're just going to touch on some of them today. You've also done some presenting.
I've presented over horror, sports, online casino, so all kinds of different things. And I want to do a little, I've got a little idea for some kind of travel style stuff, so the hikes and the travel, because I've kind of moved into more that kind of thing in my free time. I want to kind of touch on that, so that's what I'm looking to do next.
No, I must be honest, that was because I travel quite a lot myself, and that was something that I was thinking of, to do some kind of travel thing. And then I thought, do you know what? I'm gonna give podcasting a go. I enjoy talking to people. I enjoy listening to what they say because, like I said before, people don't realize that we've all got a backstory.
I think I mean, I think people are complex, aren't they? Everybody's got loads of different things going on, even if they don't think they have. When you suddenly talk, you're like, wow, and you do that, and I didn't know this about you. So yeah, people are very interesting.
And it all goes back to people putting you in that box, doesn't it? When they see you looking beautiful or whatever on social media, they just automatically put you in that box, which is a shame, really. And have you received any sort of like negativity towards you, like doing the photo shoots, comments,
I mean, I've never let it get to me. I'm just like, block, whatever, I don't care, because people's opinions don't really matter to me. So unless somebody I know or somebody I care about, their opinions matter to me. Strangers' opinions don't matter to me. Like, you have to have quite a thick skin, and you have to learn not to let things get to you. But yeah, I was about myself, like, she's this, she's that, whatever, who cares? They're still looking on my page, and they're still reading my stuff. So,
Exactly. Those haters are always on your page.
somebody commented something the other day, and about like somebody had said something to her, and I was like, just unfollow them. Let them carry on following you because it's a follower, but just unfollow them. You mute them. You can't see their stuff. Who cares?
And I think in this day and age, too many people, they see one thing of you. And they can't wait to get on that keyboard and just put something negative. And I've never quite understood that myself.
I can't, like, I've got a friend, and she owns a vegan restaurant, her and her husband, and they get people going on trips. People who are in Australia or America who have never been to their restaurant leaving reviews saying like, oh, we were there on Saturday night and it was terrible, blah, blah, blah. And it's like weird vegan haters. Like, it's like angry,
Wow.
like trying to ruin her business. It's like, this is bonkers. It's called Oak Tree, by the way, and it's in Leon C, and it's incredible. Listening to this, if you're around Leon C, food is incredible. Go there.
Right, and just while we're on the subject of dropping a link, just remind everybody where they can get in touch with you, get hold of you.
With me, so Instagram is at Miss Danny Tees, and that's MissDannyTeeZee. And Twitter is Miss Danny Tees 2, because my first one got hacked and stolen, and I got back. Facebook is Miss Danny Tees, and my website is www.danny-thompson.com.
Okay, I will include those in the description, obviously. I just wanted to, I know we're going back to the modeling again, but I just wanted to talk about those lads mags. How were they to do?
Super fun. I mean, the shoots were always fun. You're usually in and out quite quickly, so you'd get to the studio, work with the same photographers over and over again, so you'd become friends. And yeah, they were, I mean, it was super fun. And I did get to the point where I used to start doing my own makeup. You know what it's like when someone else does your makeup and you know your face, so you know what you like, and I'm kind of sneaking off, adding extra eyeliner or darkening. I did get to a point where I was like, I'll just do my own makeup. And I think when you've kind of when you've worked a bit more, you can get away with doing that. So when you're new, you just kind of let them. I mean, my first patchouli shoot, they backcombed my hair, and I looked like I was out of the 80s. And I looked like I was like 21 or something, and I looked so much older, just because of what they did. I was like, why did I let that pass? But we let.
And just very quickly, I heard you mention your boyfriend. Do I hear wedding bells? Do I need to get a fascinator?
Not quite yet. It's all quite new. Maybe one day. I mean, I've moved in, but that was just, I don't know, just a circumstance. So I've moved in temporarily until my purchase of my new flat completes, and then I think he might follow me over. So, that's the plan anyway.
Oh, fabulous. Now, I just want to go to some questions because obviously I let everybody know that you were going to be on the show, and I know, and I've got some questions for you, if that's okay.
Exciting.
Oh, I love to get people involved, you know. And this one is, let's see, I haven't got my glasses on. So her name is Chrissy, and she wants to know, do you have any advice for future models or actors?
I think obviously be yourself, because I think it was Judy Garland who said, be yourself because everyone else is taken. And it's so true. Be yourself, find your niche, because if you're trying to be something you're not, or you're trying to emulate somebody else, there's no point. They've already done it. So just be who you are. Obviously watch other people, look at other people's pictures, get ideas, but then kind of, find your own style and just work hard and things should work out.
Absolutely. And this one is from Scarlett. Who is your favourite model? Could be male or female.
I'm going to go with Miss Black Rain. Obviously, I love the Dita Von Teese. I love the whole pin-up style.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, Miss Black Rain, she's a friend of mine, so she'd kill me if I didn't say her. But also, her shots are incredible, and she works so hard, and her styling's incredible.
Yeah.
She makes me feel really lazy because I'm just like, she's like, when did you last shoot? Months ago. But yeah, I mean, her stuff's incredible, so check her out.
I totally agree with you there. I see her on my feed all the time, and I'm like, that is another amazing shot. Because you know, with some models, you see one shot and you say, oh, she looks fabulous, or he, or they. And then you'll see another
Whatever.
shot. Yeah, whatever. And then you'll see another shot and you'll say, oh, that one's not so good. But all her shots are fantastic.
Yeah, but she always had that face that like photographed so perfectly, and her poses, and it's like when she dances, she's incredible. So
Yeah.
yes,
Okay, we have another one.
her style.
This one is from Isaac. Have you ever been terrified in one of your own horror movies?
No, you're there and you're doing stuff. And a lot of my movies, they kind of tend to be more comedy horror than all out horror. I think for me, I'm more scared, not of the scene I'm shooting, but you could be shooting somewhere where there are spiders. Like I've shot in a forest and then there's a spider, and then I don't like it. I'm not good with spiders. So yeah, terrified of the spiders. I actually did a shoot on a film called Man, and we all camped on set. So it was on this farm, and there was a campsite opposite, so it was just easier for everyone to stay there. And my tent this porch with a the window. So it had a porch, and the porch didn't completely zip up. And in the morning, there'd be all these money spiders that have snuck in, and they're like on their webs, trapezing around, and I'd just scream, and the makeup on come running safely from the spiders. So yeah, not a spider fan.
Okay, and I'm talking about movies. So from the time that you get an idea, that little bit of glimmer, how long does it take for you to recruit actors and put it into production and obviously edit and all those things that come with making a movie? How long is that process on average? I know every time's different, but sort of like on average.
I mean, it can happen very quickly. So with the Horoscope series, Horoscopes, Horoscopes 2, the producer kind of gave us our title. So he picked a horoscope out of a hat for each of the 12 directors, gave us our title, and then we had, maybe 6 months to get it completely finished and to him. For me, I'm more used to writing a feature film script. So writing a short film, I really struggled with because it's you can't develop your characters, you don't know their backstory, and you obviously have that really short space of time to kind of get the beginning, middle, end, or something happening. So it took me a while that time to get the script together. And once I finally got the idea, from getting the idea, the script was down the next day, I cast it, I got my location sorted, and we shot it very quickly, and the edit was done. And the second one, Dragon, I couldn't think of an idea. So they gave me Dragon, and I was like, this is really difficult. Like, what am I going to do? It took me ages. And then I was in the bath one day. Like, I'd been brainstorming. I had all of these ideas, all of them were rubbish. And then I was in the bath one day, and the idea just kind of went ting. So I like jumped out of the bath, wrote it, and again, it was all done very quickly. So it can be, it can be very quick if you've got a team that can work very quick. But then I've had another film, a feature film that I wrote, and then it got stuck in the edit because of funding. We didn't have the funding for the edit, and that took 4 years to complete. So it depends. Depends.
And do you enjoy the process of the shooting of the film and the editing? Do you actually get involved in all that?
The shooting I do, and I have been in the films that I've produced and directed as well. So obviously I'm there on set. I get very involved in the costume and the styling, and I was even in there with a paintbrush with the set designer on the last one, painting walls. In the end, I tend, if it's somebody editing that I know very well and they know kind of what I want, I've left the editor to kind of get on with it, and then they've kind of sent it back to me, and I've said, oh, okay, can we maybe change this? Can we shorten that? Can we do something here? So we kind of work that way. Like, I let them kind of work with it a little bit because, to be honest, I'm not a director, I'm an actor. I've gone into directing from having a lot of experience on set, being on so many sets, watching other people work. But, I have no technical skills when it comes to editing. I'm learning slowly because I want to do this travel thing. I'm slowly trying to edit, but I'm using apps, and I'm using, I'm not using proper edit software. So I kind of tend to leave it to people that know what they're doing.
Yeah, well, the best thing is to start with one of the free softwares on the PC and learn it bit by bit, and that'd be the best way to sort of like learn it. That's how I learned it, because obviously I was used to using mobile apps for editing, but when you go onto the PC, you're like, oh my God. You know what I mean? But
I'm
it's
on the mobile app.
yeah, but
Yeah, absolutely.
it is really rewarding. And it's especially now because the content that I'm doing is a lot longer. It's not that 10 second TikTok video or 15 second video. It goes on a lot longer, and you have to keep referring back. And you know what I'm, you know, it's completely different, but it is enjoyable when you've seen the whole lot, and you're like, oh. But there's always something that you want to change anyway.
Of course, and you always criticize your own work. So I do it when I'm acting or when I'm, with whatever. I wish I'd done that differently, or I wish I'd pulled that face differently, or I'd done, you always, everyone's critical of their own work, I think, being a perfectionist. But I do think with editing, like, it's one of those, that's definitely the next thing I want to learn, because I think and especially now with content creating, you need to learn to do everything yourself, because you can't rely on other people to get your content edited for you, because, no one's got time for that quick enough.
Exactly,
So
and the expense behind it as well.
getting professionals to do it. So it's good to be able to, learn all these things and,
Now, if you're enjoying this episode, don't forget to like, comment, review, and share it with your besties. Now, let's just take a look at some of Danny's modelling shots. May I remind you, if you're watching this, you will be able to see that photo shoot. But if you're just listening, you will just hear some music for 30 seconds or so.
Step into the unknown, 'cause this is where dreams are born. Million miles away, but it still feels like home. In the land of heroes.
Okay, Danny, so out of all of the genres, out of all of the genres in acting, why horror?
Well, after modeling and I went to drama school, I trained at a normal drama school. It's a screen acting school, so we
Right.
touched on Shakespeare and you do the voice and you learn about the methods and you do all of the things you do at any other drama school, but you do it all on camera. So I didn't set out just to do horror back then, but I've always loved horror films, and I don't know why, because I'm very pink and glittery and like I like unicorns and sparkle, but then I've always loved horror movies, and I like kind of darker side of things, a little bit of the occult and a little bit of spookiness.
Yeah.
When I left drama school, I ended up doing it was a celebrity ghost hunt. So
Right.
back then I did glamour modeling, so they were obviously desperate. They asked me to go on this show. And some of the crew on that show were making horror movies, and they were like, "Oh, we've got a part for you if you want." And I kind of did bits with them. And then after drama school, it kind of got a little bit word of mouth. I ended up doing a couple of horror films, and then I just get booked now. And it's a very small, close-knit community, the horror industry. So
Really?
it's just kind of gone that way. And I think for me as well, I just feel like I found my niche. Whereas, I'm obviously, I've got a certain look. I've got the glamour model physique, so I was always going to get cast for certain types of roles. And I think that kind of lends itself well to horror as well, because you do have those kinds of characters in horror films. It's your stereotypical kind of scream queen, really. So
Yeah.
I kind of fell into it. I'm happy I'm there. I feel like, because otherwise I could have been one of those actors that's kind of plodding around not knowing really where I fit. And
Yeah.
I think typecasting, not actually a bad thing. It's great if you can be a character actor and you can do all of these, very different things. But sometimes you are, it's really the only industry you can really still be kind of booked and discriminated against for how you look, isn't it? It's like, if somebody has an idea in mind for a character, it doesn't matter how good an audition you do, if you don't look the part, you won't get the part. Or you could do a terrible audition. I've done auditions where I've walked out and thought that was, and then I've got the call saying you've got the job, and I'm like, why would you give me that job from that? But it's because of, the look that they wanted. And directors will work with you, so if they know that you've got the foundations and you're a trained actor, you can be directed. They can get
Yeah.
out of you what they want. Then it kind of works. So yeah, I mean, I'm happy I'm doing the horror.
And
I don't think. I don't think I'll necessarily ever move away from the horror. I like doing comedy roles. Like, I actually quite like working with comic timing, and I'd like to do a bit more drama, and so there are different roles I'd like to do, but I think I'd always go back to horror.
Yeah, I was just going to say, in an ideal world, what would be your ideal role?
Oh, I like playing very strong characters. I play a good baddie. I like playing the evil characters, the bitch. Or what I'd like to do though is because I do get cast for my look a lot, I'd
Yeah.
like to do a role where I get, some really horrible prosthetics and I get to look like some kind of, really evil demon or something very different so that I can't sort of play off what I look like and it's, more about your kind of physicality and movement and voice and things like that. I mean, I've enjoyed doing a little bit of voiceover stuff recently for people,
Right.
which I thought, God, this is great. I can do this in my pajamas and I don't have to put any makeup on and my hair's in a bun. So I'd like to do more voiceovers if anyone would like to book me to stay in my pajamas and put my hair in a bun and talk.
Absolutely. All your information is going to be in the description, so they'll
Yeah.
know where to get hold of you and get you booked in for some more voiceovers. To the comedy. I mean, I love doing comedy myself. I find comedy easier than doing anything else. Do you know what I mean? I don't know why that is. I just Maybe it's because I just like to fool around all the So is there any like recent movies, late 23, 24, which you'd have loved to have been in?
Oh God, I don't know. I don't know about late 23, 24. I never, I don't know what day of the week it is, let alone like what's come out where and when.
Okay,
But
then
I know not necessarily.
let's broaden that a little bit then. From all time, of all time, what movie would you have thought, oh, I'd love to have been in that?
Don't know. I mean, I think the comedy, I mean, I wouldn't like to see me in a rom-com or anything because I can't bear watching them. I wouldn't really want to do that kind of film. But something like Legally Blonde or, those kinds of roles where they're fun and, just
What
amusing characters.
seems you're wearing Barbie. What about, would you have loved to have been in the Barbie movie?
I would love to have been in the new Barbie
Me
movie.
too.
Yeah. Who doesn't love Barbie?
I know. When it came out, everybody was saying, "You've got to watch it. You've got to watch it. You've got to watch it." So yeah, and I quite enjoyed it, I must admit.
One of my girlfriend groups. I've got the bitches and the witches. I went with the bitches. We went to see the Barbie movie. And I think we all loved it. Really, it was like I was the main one who wanted to see it, but everybody else kind of went along with it and we all had fun.
I enjoyed it, to be honest. What was your first horror movie you watched?
The first horror movie I watched was it was It. So I think Canada, and it was it's a mini series. It's a two-parter, isn't it? So the old one from not the newer version. And I think I was 8 years old, and we were in the basement, and we watched it. And I was so terrified that I had to sit with the light on for the rest of the week, I think. So that was the first one I remember. I was far too young, and then I really got into watching horror again back in Canada. I used to go to Canada most summers with my cousins and my aunts and uncles there, and it was in that kind of late 90s era when we had The Craft and Scream and Urban Legend, all those real 90s slashers. And I was over there and we watched Scream, and that was it. I was like, this is what I was. And I think with Scream, it's horror, it's a slasher, it's got comedy elements in it, and I like that. That's the kind of film I love. So there is a bit of humor in there, but there's some good gory death scenes. So I like a glossy. I'm not, I don't really like blood. So I'm, the real gory ones I do cringe at. But where it's like you've got some good kills, it's funny, the script's good, there's some good one-liners in there with the characters and scenes. That's more my thing.
But don't you think the older horror movies were actually better?
I mean that era I loved. I think things coming out now, nothing really surprises me, and it's maybe because I've watched so much, but they have to kind of push the boundaries and they make it more gory or more horrific. And I'm not really into the gore. So for me, I don't really believe in ghosts. I'd love to, but I'm a bit seeing as believing, but I do like a really good haunting film, and I can find myself being really creeped out. So I think the last really good film that I saw, and this is probably a nearly 10-year-old film now, is The Autopsy of Jane. That's the last film that I watched that I
Oh, I've
horror film that I've got
seen that.
really good. Yeah. So we actually watched it again the other night. My boyfriend hadn't seen it. And so there's a scene where there's a bell on like the toe, and so the bell kind of jingles, and you know that okay. So we basically went to bed afterwards, and I've got so I do crystal healing and Reiki, and this is like my other
Oh,
side of me, and
yeah.
I've got this little bell that I start my sessions with. It's just a tiny little bell, and I was like, so I waited for the light to get out, and I just like jingled my bell, and he was like, "I'm not funny. You're not funny." I was like, "I think I
How did the crystal healing and Reiki come about then? Has that always been there, deep within?
I've always been a little bit of a hippie at heart, but my mum actually does crystal healing and angelic healing, and I've always had an interest. I've always been interested in crystals, and I actually did my training with her for my Reiki's 1 and 2 before lockdown, and then during lockdown, when I had all the time on my hands, I did crystal healing and I do sound therapy now. So I've done all that training, and went back and did my Reiki master with her so I can teach. But so that's kind of my other business, which is on hold at the moment because I had it set up in London. I was working quite a lot in London, and then I obviously up sticks and moved, but I haven't settled into my own place, so I can't really have clients in at the moment. So I've just kind of gone on a little bit of a hiatus. So I'm
Yeah.
working on Instagram, which is Stardust by Danny. So the company is Stardust Holistics, but it's Stardust by Danny for
Okay.
the but when I move, I will be setting up a retreat and kind of doing that alongside the acting, because I don't think acting for me, it's I love it, but I don't love the industry. I don't love going to auditions. I don't really have that real chase in me anymore, because I feel like I've kind of found my niche and I'm stuck within it, and people give me work, so I'm not really as hungry, I think, as like young actors when they first start and they're desperate to like really get into the
Yeah,
roles.
yeah.
I can't think of anything worse than going to auditions and doing all of that anymore. So I feel like, I don't think I'll ever give up acting, and I think acting, producing, and doing what I want to do. And I think I'm in a position really now that I've moved north where I've got quite an easy, comfortable life. So I can kind of pick and choose the jobs and take them when I want to. And I'm just kind of looking for something else that kind of feeds my soul a little bit more. I think
Yeah.
we're holistic, helping other people. And I'd like to take that online as well. So I do have like online sound baths, which I will be restarting when I move. But yeah, it's just something else that I want to do. And I feel like with nature and going on all these hikes, and I think the outdoors is very good for being. So I'm kind of the advocate of kind of getting outside for your health.
Yeah.
And I think as well within the acting industry, I think people need to have something else, not as a job, but something to kind of keep them sane, because it's a difficult industry, and it can be tough. You can be not working long periods of time. So, you have to develop quite a thick skin. So I think a lot of
Definitely.
actors need to kind of think about their well-being as well, and think about, and I'm not just actors, I think everybody should be thinking about their well-being, balancing their life a little bit.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that because so many people will work themselves into the ground and not actually enjoy the fruits of their labor.
That's it. And I think I found my balance. And I think had we not had obviously the lockdowns and the whole, it was a difficult time, and a lot of people lost people, so it was difficult. But I think I actually found through not being able to do what I do, through not being able to act, and the whole of that industry, it was not an industry that needed to stay open at the time. I had to find something else that I and something else like for me to keep me occupied. And I actually. I have a lot to be thankful for, really, because for me, it kind of about like, I don't want to party all the time. I don't really want this life all the time. I want, and I found that love of hiking in the outdoors. And so now I just kind of want to keep that balance. So that's
Yeah,
why the two businesses.
there's always room for one more because I think with holistic and Reiki and all of those kind of things, the outdoor thing, you could do a podcast too.
I could do a podcast too. I mean, I don't know where I find the time to do anything else. Are you one of these people? I've got this long list of things. I have a notebook, all these tasks, and I start ticking them off. And before I've even got 3, I've added 5. It's like a constant. But yeah, I mean, looking at doing, I've got TikTok channels, it's everything set up, I've got the Instagram set up, and I'm looking at doing like videos and short soundbar tasters and talking about chakras, about the crystals. So it's all on the cards. But I just, until I've moved and I've settled and my treatment studio is set up, and I'll also be setting up a photo studio as well in so
Wow.
my apartment, my new apartment different
The
rooms as
list is
well.
just endless with you, isn't it? It's just endless. You keep introducing something else, and so you say that you have
We'll never
you
get another
you
questions.
you say you haven't got the hunger, but you obviously still have.
I think I'm driven, but I'm driven in different to do different things. Like I think for me, there's so much I want to do, and I think also getting older, you're like, I think God, I in my 20s, like don't get me wrong, I had a great time. I love the partying, but I think what if I'd have had the like the work drive that I have now then? So I think I know that you have to kind of go out and get the things you want. So that's my plan.
Yeah, but as we said earlier, it's a lot easier to do a lot more things now because we have the internet and social media. You've got a great following anyway. So I think it's a lot easier to introduce more things because you've got that fan base anyway.
It is. And myself and him, we reviewed lingerie together. So we had a lingerie, we had a podcast. So we podcast the Lingerie Channel, but we started our own afternoon teas stuff, and we were kind of just doing random little podcasts and things there. But which is for us, it was the getting us in the same room at the same time because we live on opposite ends of the country, so it was a bit difficult now. But yeah, I mean, maybe I'll look into doing something else.
Okay, Danny, it has been fabulous catching up with you. I'm sure we could go on for another hour or so. It's been amazing, and you look amazing.
I don't know if I do today. It's the end of the day, and I'm half in my pajamas. Thank you for saying so.
But thank you so much. I know your life's very busy. You're moving, you've got all these things going on. Thank you so much for doing this. I really do appreciate it. And hopefully, see you very soon.
Thank you for having me on the show.
It's an absolute pleasure. See ya.